Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hi, I'm Leonard Maltin.
And I'm Jesse Maltin.
And you are listening to Maltin on Movies, and our guest today is Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Hello.
And who's been very much in view because of a very high-profile TV series called Fargo this season. And congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the thing that I think everybody is buzzing about right now. And I guess it will have ended when this airs.
Right. Yeah, there's just a couple more episodes, I think, for people to see. So it's crazy that it's almost, the whole story is almost finished. I can't believe it.
I told a friend of mine that we were having you on the show, and she said, ask her what it was like to work with Ewan McGregor and Ewan McGregor.
Right. Well,
and I was like, well, but it's him looking about as hideous as he possibly could.
As he possibly can, I know.
So it takes away all that romance of, oh my God, you guys, it's Ewan McGregor.
But it kind of was for the best, because I probably would have been really intimidated if he wasn't
right?
all of that
if he
stuff,
looked like his pretty Scottish self, yeah.
It was easier to just be, you know, to get to know him because I wasn't like, ooh, it's Ewan McGregor. it was just Ray. But I mostly got to work with him as just one character, so it was pretty, you know, I didn't see much of his other alter ego.
And now, we had a discussion about this on the way over. I said I didn't think you had played a character quite like this before. Mm-hmm. And Jesse said, well, you know, she's been in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're probably wrong, is what she actually said to me.
Would I say that you're wrong? I would. I say it constantly.
Easily, frequently.
Yes, every day,
and,
at least twice.
I said, well, I don't know. She's a real femme fatale, and not very bright either, though she thinks she is.
Right.
And and dresses provocatively and all that kind of stuff. Now, what would you say to that statement?
I would say that you're right, Leonard. I don't,
oh,
I
my
don't
goodness.
Think I've ever played anyone like this before.
Insert sound effect here. Okay.
You know, I thought we were friends.
I understand
I really
that
did.
You would think, you know, it's true. Sometimes I have to rack my brain. I'm like, have I played anybody like this?
But I didn't disagree with the femme fatale aspect.
Yes.
More so that you have been a vixen.
Yeah,
or
a little bit.
Or
shades of it.
Dreamed upon by men. Yeah.
Yes. I've had shades of her.
Obviously, and you can guess from my festively colored hair what people say to me
all
the time.
The time I'm sure.
And have done. For years.
Yes.
Oh my God, is that like Ramona Flowers?
Yeah.
No, but thanks. And I've said this to Edgar Wright before. I've said to him, you realize you ruined my life.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
you realize
it'll
that
follow you everywhere.
For a very long time, it was just Eternal Sunshine.
Right.
It was always that. Are you Eternal Sunshine?
Right.
Well, no, I'm not a film or a human, but thank you. But then it just became Ramona Flowers all the time.
You're like, I was doing this before Ramona Flowers.
Yeah. I'm so emo, such a hipster.
Right.
Like, I knew it before.
Yeah,
it was popular.
It was cool. Yeah.
Whatever.
Now, does Ramona follow you around?
She does, for sure.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. She's probably the character that is still the thing I'm most stopped for and most known for.
People love,
And it just keeps growing. I think more and more people keep discovering it all the time. And so it's a lovely thing. I mean, when it first came out, you know, not a lot of people saw it in the very beginning stages. So, and we were all so proud of it. So it's been so wonderful to like it grow and still be around.
It's a kick-ass cast of literally kick-ass cast of people. And everyone in that movie works all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're all so good.
Yeah, I mean, Edgar really just has such a great
eye
for people, I think.
He does,
because most of us hadn't done that much before that movie, really. Or, you know, people didn't really know who most of us were. And pretty much everybody has gone on to do a lot of things. So
And I knew everyone because I love indie movies.
Right.
And all of them, people like Mae Whitman.
Yeah.
You know, folks like Kieran Culkin, who I'm obsessed with.
So good.
And, you know, all those kinds.
Mark Webber, all those. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, really interesting.
It's
actors,
such Alison Pill.
Yes.
Who a lot of people, she was on TV last year with that series.
Yeah.
The Joan.
With,
Joan Allen series. I can't remember the name of it.
Yes.
Thank you. The Family.
Thank you, Jeff.
Again, this is the reason you keep publicists around is they're like, would you like to know the name of that?
They've got the info.
But like, you know, she was in
so
that.
Good.
So a lot of people saw that. But just in general, she's so good all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she's mostly like Mae Whitman, done a lot of indie stuff.
Yep.
Now Mae Whitman has Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly this whole universe of
and
people
all her
knows
Disney
she is.
Voice
oh,
stuff
all kinds.
That she does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All kinds.
Yeah.
Well, and the first time that I saw you, because I remember because the movies that I reviewed for the Movie Guide were movies like this.
Right.
Final Destination
3.
Yes.
You're in 3.
Yes.
And you're opposite Ryan Merriman, yeah. who I know from Disney.
Of course.
He
Luck
I,
of the
I grew
Irish.
Up with and all that. Exactly. I'm so glad you know that. But, you know, I mean, that's when I first saw you. And even though the movies, all of them are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I it's one of those that it's, I won't even say guilty pleasure because I don't feel guilty
yeah,
about it. I watch
it's
them.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
For sure.
But that's the first time I saw you. And then.
Whereas I first mm-hmm. saw you in Bobby.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez's movie.
Yeah.
And, Which also had a killer cast, actually.
Yes, yeah. Huge cast.
And he called in a lot of favors, I'm
yes.
sure. And but you stood out in
oh,
that.
Thank
it's,
you.
It, you know, yeah. it's not a principal role, mm-hmm. but you did. You made an impression.
Well, I remember he called in a lot of favors, but that was a favor to me. I remember my yeah. agent and begging to get me a part of that movie. It was just like knocking down every door. I met with every producer. I met with, you know, it was like anyone I could meet on the movie. Just find her a role in
that's
it,
what you have to do. I mean, that's the thing is I don't think, I always refer to it as normal people, meaning people who do not live in this industry.
Right, yes.
Who don't understand that aspect mm-hmm. of it, of really having to work for something when you want a part in something.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you do whatever you can.
Yeah,
whether
no,
it's
we wore
shaving
them down.
Your head
yeah.
to look like the character, yeah. you know, appearing as often as humanly possible in front of them.
Right.
You know, you have to. But that, I think you've worked on a lot of really interesting projects.
I've been
lucky.
A lot
of, like,
yeah.
odds and ends that are not necessarily box office.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Though, Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Occasionally
you know,
something would
like
yeah. pop
Death
in that
Proof.
Way. Yeah.
You know,
no,
so.
You know, now, I think you have a very high, I don't know if there's some quantification of this, a very high percentage of cool movies.
Oh, yeah.
Resume.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, no one hits a home run every single
right.
time.
Right.
And no one sets out to make a bad movie,
yeah.
goodness knows. But among your movies are this cluster of really cool films. And
yeah.
you just mentioned one of them. Now, we had another argument on the way over here. It wasn't an argument. It was a
Daddy.
Discussion.
Just inciting
it was a discussion.
So much.
No. Because I was lucky enough to see Grindhouse.
Right.
Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse. The way he originally
yeah.
wanted everybody
the
to
double
see
feature.
It. As a double feature. All one unified thing with phony trailers
yeah.
and phony bumpers for coming soon and all that stuff. And it was a 3-hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so enjoyable and so original.
Yeah, such a movie fan experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To have the sort of the audacity to do that. Mm. His audacity bit him in the behind, unfortunately.
A little bit.
Because
other people are like, I don't what?
Yes.
3 hours? What?
You know, Harvey Weinstein has been, you know, loyal to Quentin as Quentin has been to him. But they decided they just couldn't, it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to play that way. So they, in fact, then cut the movie in half and mm-hmm. made two movies out of it, which it was sort of. But then they lengthened each one.
Mm.
And you're in the one called Death Proof,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And so tell us about meeting Quentin for the first time
yeah.
and that experience,
Gosh,
if you would.
That was incredibly exciting. Definitely of my kind of working actor experiences, mm-hmm. that just that audition was a huge highlight because mm-hmm. it was, you know, everybody went to his house. We all got, you know, invited to go to his house, sit in his living room. He has a kind of movie theater at his house, so that's where he held the auditions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just me and, like, 20 other girls just sitting there nervous in his living room.
Just
like,
go over
what?
To Quentin Tarantino's house
yeah, just
and audition.
House.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
So nerve-wracking and exciting. And then, you know, eventually the cast director comes out and calls me in, and I go into his movie theater, and he immediately just, like, gives me a hug. He's just so gregarious. He just starts going on and on and on about all the things he's seen me in, which at that point was not that much, mm-hmm. but he had seen it all, and he was like, I loved you in Final Destination 3, you're amazing. Just all of, you know, the films that I had been in, even episodes of TV that I had done, guest starring episodes he referred to and knew. I was just stunned.
He's an encyclopedia.
I was so stunned. I mean, nobody ever did that, let alone, you know, someone that I idolized like that. So I just remember just being so just struck by that and so happy. And it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I can, that's all I need. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. If nothing else comes
yeah.
from it, you've had this experience.
I've had that. And then it just kept getting more and more fun because he read with me in the scene and he would play all the different characters, and he would jump around physically.
Of course he would.
And put on different accents. Like, he'd go to this side of the room, be this person with this accent, and then he'd come around. And, you know, the whole thing was just like, you know, being a big kid and just playing.
Yeah.
And he, at one point, he asked me to sing something in the middle of the scene, and I just sort of started humming kind of awkwardly. And then he was like, no, sing. What the last song you heard? Just sing it. And then I just started singing, and it just, the whole thing was just such an exciting, fun experience. And then I remember getting a couple callbacks and going back and seeing him again, and every time it was like less and less people, and just being totally like in amazement that this was happening to me. It was such an amazing experience.
And then you got to make a movie.
And then I got to make a movie.
Yeah, right. Oh, Quentin.
I got to make a movie. I got to be part of the whole posse, you know. It was really
so,
yeah,
great. What is he like on the set as you're about to shoot a scene as a director? I don't know if I've ever asked anybody that. Mm. We know what he's like when we see him in at a Q&A, at a panel discussion, at his theater, the New Beverly.
Yeah.
And he's just so passionate and enthusiastic. No one knows more, certainly, about movies and television than he does. And no one ingests more, I suspect, than he does. And remembers it all.
Yes.
So we know that, Quentin. What's he like when you're shooting a film?
I mean, he's certainly that. I mean, I don't think he ever turns that any of that off. You know, it's always sort of talking about movies. It's always loud and fun and spirited and full of energy. I mean, I can't say what it's like for him to shoot something like Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a different kind of movie than the movie we made. So who knows? Maybe that's a different experience. Mm-hmm. But on our movie, it was just so much fun. And, you know, he does have his rules, which is like no phones on set. Mm-hmm. Nobody's texting or making calls or distracted in any way. But they're playing music. The sound department always has like music ready to go in between takes. So music's playing, everybody's dancing and just laughing and having fun. And one of my favorite things is sometimes when he would say that, ask for another take, he would go, why? And then the whole crew would go, because we love making movies.
How neat.
It's not real.
No, I know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's crazy.
So much fun. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard.
I know. It's really, it was like a just unbelievable experience for me. It was one of those things when it was over, I was like, now what? This is the most fun I've ever had. Now what do I do?
Well, what you did was you made a film called Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Not immediately after, but
a few years after,
and which debuted at the Sundance Film Festival, and I think put you on a lot of people's radar who hadn't seen Final Destination.
Mm, right? Yeah. Maybe a different crowd,
or your dance movie, which I've seen every.
Goodness.
No, literally, this is my life. My life is anytime there's any movie because I'm the only person writing for the book who's under 50.
Right.
You know,
I saw
every dance movie you can imagine. Yeah. I saw all of that. That's what I mean. That's what I was thinking about today, just how long I've sort of known you on screen. Because Final Destination 3 was 2006.
Yeah.
So it's a long time that I've been watching you.
That's true. You know,
that sounds creepy, doesn't it?
I've been
watching you for a really long time. No, but it's true. You know, you realize sometimes why you have an affection for people. Mm-hmm. And it's because you've seen them for a really
like an
long
old friend.
Time.
Yeah. You're so used to their
Even,
face.
You're
so.
In one of my favorite movies last year, Swiss Army Man.
Oh, yeah.
And that, too, that was another one where it was just like, oh, hi, buddy.
Yeah, there she is.
There you are. I love this movie.
Again,
and it's
the cool factor, like the meter just goes to 11.
Oh, yeah.
With
that movie, I know. They're the coolest. Oh, man.
I love that film.
Oh, God.
Don't stop me from talking about Smash first.
Smash away.
Smash, and then we'll
Smash
Swiss.
Away,
we'll Swiss after we smash.
Smash and Swiss.
So that was that your first trip to Sundance?
Mm, it was. And I had actually grown up nearby there. So
oh, that's right. You grew up in Utah.
And I remember occasionally I'd go up there and try to like get into it, but I never knew how it worked, you know?
Sure.
It's hard to get tickets to things.
Oh, it's chaotic at this point. Yeah,
so I never really understood how it worked. So I lived close by, but I never actually had been to the festival. And so it was a really big deal for me to get to go and actually have that full experience. It was really exciting.
And with a really good movie.
Yes,
that is about you.
Yeah.
About your character, and that gives you, you know, just such a... an exceptionally well-written part.
I know.
Such a thoughtful movie, written and directed by James Ponsell.
Yes, who I love
and,
so much.
Who I admire greatly,
and
too.
And your co-star ain't too shabby either.
I know,
Aaron. Aaron Fall is your co-star. And how do you – I know it was filmed quickly.
Yeah.
But you play a school teacher, a very good and dedicated school mm-hmm. teacher, who's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And who's married? Are you married or are you just living together?
We're married, yeah.
Married to an alcoholic. And then you try to kick the habit,
right.
as they say. How did you prepare for that? How did you even approach that?
You just got drunk a lot.
Right. I know. That's
just drank
one way to go. It was so daunting for me. It was one of those things where I really went after it, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I really wanted a part like that and a movie like that. And then once I got it, I went, oh, no. I don't know if I actually know how to do this. I was sort of, I think, surprised that they actually wanted me to do it, even after I was, like, begging to yeah. for them to let me do it. It was really just a lot of talking with James, who's just such a lovely person. And, I mean, at first, what he said to me was really scary, which was, like, this has to be the best drunk performance of all time. Like, there's just no way that it can't be, because it has to feel real, and this has to feel like it's really you. And if it doesn't, then there's no point in
yeah.
doing this. So I was like, oh, okay.
No pressure, but this
no
has
pressure.
To be perfect.
But then he just spent so much time with me. I mean, hours and hours and hours of, yeah. of trying to figure out what in my life would be my alcohol, you know,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just how do you approximate what it's like to be an alcoholic. It was like, how do you find what it is in your life that is toxic that you need
yeah.
to stop doing? What cycle are you in? And then once we found that, it was like, oh, this whole world opened up to me, which was like, oh, I can relate to this person and I can understand what she's going through and I can go through that on screen and it will be real and it won't be me pretending to have this very real disease that so many people struggle with, which was mm. what was so scary about it initially, was sort of like, how do I pretend to do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same as pretending to die on a roller coaster
right.
or, you know, other things that I had done before. This is like, this is so, it's so much more real and has so much more value to me and to the world in that way, in that very personal way. So I just wanted to do it right. And
yeah.
And so I relied very much on James to help me do that.
Mm-hmm. And did you feel you'd gotten it when you were shooting? Or were you dependent on him to give you the kind of like a coach, you know, giving you
right.
the feedback on the sidelines?
I mean, I think we felt that it was happening, you know. It felt very mm-hmm. like like you said, it was a very quick shoot. It was mm-hmm. 19 days, so there mm-hmm. wasn't a lot
wow,
of
that's
once
nothing.
We started, there wasn't a lot of time to talk, which was great that we had a couple weeks before we started shooting to just spend a lot of time together and talk everything through.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the time we got there, it just was like, we're just living this now. This is just
yeah.
the camera's on and we're just living. Mm-hmm. So that was really the experience of it. We shot so much. And then often what he would do was he would leave the camera rolling. So we would do a lot of improv before and after the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it never felt like we weren't shooting. It always felt like
how
we were in character, and
mm-hmm.
it was just always flowing and always going. And there wasn't a lot of stopping and reflecting. It was just sort of mm-hmm. in it.
And then the first showing at the festival.
Oh my God! I bawled my eyes out. It was so it was so wonderful. My mom was there and my sister was there, and they were all crying. It was like it was amazing. It really was.
Well, it's a film that's worthy of that.
Mm. It was for me. I mean, it was totally a life changing experience for mm-hmm. me. So I will mm-hmm. always be so eternally grateful for the mm-hmm. experience of doing that movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel a difference in terms of how you were perceived or what doors were open to you after
yeah.
making that film?
I certainly felt a difference in how I was perceived. I think it was like it took a couple years for it to actually start showing itself in my career, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my dog is just
no, I'm obsessed with your dog. I'm listening to you and what you're saying is serious, but I'm staring at your dog, Ambrosius, who is the cutest thing in the world right now.
She is pretty cute. But yeah, it was funny. I think there was a little, at first I was like a little bit like, oh no, is this actually going to make any difference? Or am
yeah.
I going to start mm-hmm. getting more of these kind of roles? Because they didn't really come right away, because it was mm-hmm. such a small movie and people yeah. in the industry saw it, but people out in the world didn't really see it.
Right,
and so,
which is the challenge always with
yeah,
an indie film.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so it kind of, even though people would come up to me and say, oh, I'd love to work with you, wouldn't that be so great? They still had to have their list of people that they had to work with, and I wasn't on it, you know, and I still wasn't on it. So it took a little while to find those parts where people would say, I saw this movie and I want to put you in this movie because of that. And I am allowed to, you know.
Yeah.
It took a little while for that to happen. But thankfully, I mean, even now, I feel like almost everything I do somehow comes back to that movie. So ultimately, it did make a big difference.
Now, did you study acting at all? I know you had originally trained to be a ballerina.
I did, yeah. I didn't really have any formal training. I took a lot of classes, you know, all throughout my teens and kind of my early adulthood. I was always in a class or had a teacher, but I didn't go to a school or or anything like that. I was always trying just different teachers.
So you're just good.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's definitely been a learning process. I feel like everything has sort of, you know, helped me grow a little bit more. And it really wasn't until Smashed that I kind of went, oh, I might be good at this. You know, I really, before that, was always kind of like, am I good? I don't know. I'm trying to figure this thing out. Yeah. And then that was definitely kind of a leap forward. But I've still been, of course, you're always trying to become better and stretch yourself and, you know, figure it out.
That's it. I find it really, you know, growing up here and damn near everybody around me had something to do with film and also all the kids that would come in just for pilot season. I would say I would have 30 people. All my friends would come in for a month and audition like crazy and then leave again and go back to the Midwest or wherever, you know, all the different places that they're from. And I would watch some acting classes. I would go sometimes just to see them.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating to see the people who it just is there and people where it just kind of isn't.
I know, yeah.
And I feel like somebody like you, you can do it and you can act. And you don't necessarily need lessons for it, but at the same time, you acknowledge that having a director, like specifically you just talked about Smash, you know, having a director really help guide you and talk to you. So that is a class. That is someone helping you get where you need to be for this part and making you confident.
Yes.
Making you confident in it that you know what you're doing.
Totally.
And that's
totally what it
huge.
Is for me is, going anytime that I've had a teacher or a coach or you know, or a director who's really hands-on or something, it just helps you take something to the next thing where you just learn something from it, you know. Yeah. But I've never been super attached to a certain method or attached to a certain way of
James must have liked what you did because he asked you back
to
being the Spectacular Now, which is another terrific movie.
It is. I know, he's so talented.
With Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley. And you play Miles Teller's sister. And again, a film that's just, you know, so solid and so... And so thoughtful. That's the word I keep thinking of. I'm thinking about his
work. That's a good word for him. He's incredibly thoughtful. Yeah. Incredibly. Yeah.
You know, not many movies make you feel.
Yes.
You know, the way his best films do. And so, I mean, as I say, I think just working with him, it's a compliment to you that he said, come on back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, no, really, it was, I mean, that he, I think, saw something in me to cast me originally. It was like a huge, you know, it was a similar, you have things with different directors where, you know, like Quentin Tarantino, Edgar Wright was that way, you know, people where you really respect them and you go, okay, wow, you see something in me. Okay, that's a really huge kind of confidence builder. You know?
And then to be told that you are going to get to play one of the most famous women in American history, Mary Todd Lincoln.
Right.
Ah, yes.
You know, I mean, talk about a compliment.
Yeah, that's it. You've made it.
Well,
you're in the history books now.
I am.
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Right. Yes, really historically accurate portrayal, I think.
I always knew it. The film, the film just validated everything I ever thought.
That's what I thought when I read it. I was like, that all makes so much sense now.
Did you have fun with that?
I did. It was so, it was such a strange movie. But you can probably tell from my resume that I'm sort of attracted to strange and weird. And I just have an appreciation for people that are trying something different, you know?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Why not? Yeah. And so that was certainly different. And Timor is certainly a different type of person and director and lovely. And I just kind of wanted to see what that would be like, you know. And it was, I kind of never knew what was happening or what was going on every day. It was always changing and there were always so many big ideas.
Some people who saw the film felt the same way actually.
What is going on? There's a part where he throws a horse at another person.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weapon.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of those movies where it ends and you look to your friends and it's just silent. Yeah. And you kind of go, what just happened?
What?
What exactly just happened? Please.
But, you know, but not uninteresting.
Not uninteresting.
No.
Not bland.
No.
That's what I'm at least attracted to, I think, is Dolph.
Well, what was funny is that when you got the part of the lead role in Mercy Street, the recent PBS series, I'd forgotten that you'd played Mary Todd Lincoln, so you'd already done a Civil War.
I'd had a little practice round with it.
You just love bustle.
Yes,
so
I know.
Much.
I had a little practice with the costumes, with the heat. You know, yeah. I was ready for it.
Well, I actually want to ask you something serious about that, which is these two vastly different projects.
Yes,
are both set, you know, in the 1860s, and what does it mean when you put on that wardrobe? Does that influence you? Does it make you feel that you do? I mean, literally, do you walk differently? Do you hold yourself differently?
Yeah.
Carry yourself in a different way?
Yeah.
And you're a former dancer, so you understand body movement, body language.
I loved it on Mercy Street. I really did. And not saying that I didn't on Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, but it was just a very different experience. Like Mercy Street, having it be television for one thing, and having it be low budget television, which I'd never done before. I never sat down. I mean, I was in this corset and, you know, outfit and working in this old, you know, house that had been, you know, makeshift hospital. And I really felt like I was a nurse in the 1860s because it was so busy and so fast paced. And I felt great. Like, I got really used to holding myself that way and always, I don't know, there was something about it. It was exhausting at
first. I'm sure. Did you have a leaning board or anything like that?
I didn't have a leaning board. I could sit. It just was a slightly uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, I've worn corsets in my day.
But there wasn't
not
really
so much
time to sit. I mean, honestly, there was like how fast the setups were. It would be like, be like, okay, we're gonna move on to the next thing, and you can go back to your trailer. And I would start walking, and then be like, they're ready for you, and then I would run back. We'd be running trying to get all the shots done because of just how ambitious it was for such a
low
budget.
Where did you film?
In Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and it was just there was something so great about it. It felt so real.
Absolutely.
Just the hectic, you know, nature of it. And for a while after it was done, I was like, should I start wearing a corset? Like, should I do that? Because it's just something that felt I just felt really comfortable in it. And you're just so supported that you never have to worry about standing up straight. You're just like, you just kind of let yourself go into it. And it's just, you're just like taken care of.
But that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doing part of the job for you, isn't it?
Yeah, no, oh my God. It makes a huge difference. Everything about that, you know, because all the details were so well done from the costumes to the design. It all, and like all the actors on it, we've talked about it all the time. We're just like, we feel like we're really there. It just felt so authentic
that it was
really wonderful.
And in the first scene of the first episode, you get to work opposite Cherry Jones.
Yes. Oh.
Simply one of the best actresses alive.
And the coolest people alive.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, my God. One of the coolest. I mean, really. She was only there for a few days, and she just left such an impression on everyone that we were just like, oh, we loved her so much.
Yeah. With good reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about films that people have seen as opposed to some of the worthy films that maybe don't get seen. You had another terrific part in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
And
John Goodman.
I felt sorry for you.
Right.
I know.
It was a harrowing.
Character.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Definitely a harrowing story.
But such a cool movie
to be a part of.
It's so cool. And it's such a trip. And it's one of those, when we see movies separately, we try not to spoil for each other. You try not to ask too much. But when I finally got to see the movie and I came home, it was one of those, like, immediately a powwow happened.
Right.
And going, oh, my God, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Can you imagine? Oh, I can't. It's so good.
Oh, I'm so glad. It was amazing because so many people saw it, but I never knew, I did not expect that to happen. It was a tiny movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tiny movie that became a big movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that never happens, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's never, you never have experiences where things do far and away better than you expected. Yeah. At least I don't. You know, I'm used mm-hmm. to the opposite thing where you kind of hope something does well and then nobody sees it. And, you know, and it is what it is. And I've never been too worried about that kind of thing. But it was like such a wonderful surprise to have that movie do so well.
Now, most films are not shot in sequence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's rare the film is shot in sequence. I wonder if, not specifically if that film was, but as a viewer of that movie, we never knew what John Goodman was going to be like from scene to scene.
I know.
I mean, that's one of the great things about that film is that, you know, and it's not, this is not a spoiler in any way. I mean, you know, sometimes he's harsh, sometimes he's cruel.
Sometimes
he's benevolent.
He's nurturing, mm-hmm.
you know.
And loving.
And you just don't know what turn is going
to
take
out.
Next.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. He was so brilliant. And I was the same. I remember the first few days of shooting kind of feeling that same thing of like, what's he do? Like, what is it? What's happening? You know, which was perfect because my character is trying to like figure out who is this guy and is he scary or what, you know, what is he doing? And then by the end of it, I was just like, oh my God. I mean, of course, every scene he was brilliant in.
Yeah.
And he was so lovely because anytime the camera was on me, he would just amp it up even more. You know, if he was scary in the scene, even scarier. He would just like, he just wanted to help bring whatever out of me.
Oh, what a great thing to do for
a colleague.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It just, I'll never forget it.
A lot of times, the second they wrap, it's a stand-in.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done now.
No.
You do your thing.
He's so generous.
Well, hang on.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's those little things that, you know, are never spoken about, but you notice and,
oh,
and
means,
you...
Oh, it means the most.
Yeah, it means so much.
Because it means he cared.
Yeah.
He cared about he cared about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not just how he looks in the film,
exactly.
but how you look in the film.
And about the film in general, you know,
to everybody
to be good. Yeah.
So... both as a child or maybe as an adolescent, when you were a moviegoer, movie watcher, and today as a working actress, tell us who are some of your role models. Who do you look up to? Whose career do you admire?
Yeah.
Oh, Meryl.
Gosh. No, I mean,
no, I'm just joking.
I mean, it is the easiest, but it is true. I mean, I certainly grew up watching her. Also, you know, people like Holly Hunter.
She's in Kumail Nanjiani's film, The
Oh,
Big
yes,
Sick.
The Big Sick. I've heard so much about it.
Brilliant.
Oh, I'm
she's
sure
so
she
good.
Is.
Brilliant.
She's always so brilliant.
Just love her.
Yeah, I grew up, loving her. Frances McDormand was huge. Laura Dern, you know, just like there were so many great actresses for me. Shirley MacLaine, Deborah Winger. It just goes on and on. I feel like I was really lucky to, I mean, we were such a movie family. I saw so many movies, especially 80s movies. saw them all. So I had, there was a lot of great female led movies then. Or movies where the entire cast was female basically, you know, and so I really, that's kind of what I saw doing when I thought about becoming an actress was those kind of roles.
What movies did you all watch together?
Gosh, so many. A lot of like, you know, every Tom Hanks movie, every Julia Roberts movie, every, you know, every kind of 80s comedy was on like heavy rotation. There would be like, you know, on a loop. Also a lot of, you know, there's like I mentioned Labyrinth. My dog is named after that movie. So a lot of like 80s kids movies too. But mostly with the kids movies, it was mostly the darker ones. Only the ones that had some sort of darker, the Dark Crystal.
They're kind of kids' movies, but also kind of not.
Yeah, kind of not.
Yeah.
But I preferred the movies that were like Splash or something, that were like sort of kid-friendly, but when you watch them as an adult now, you're like, no.
What?
Really
not. Yeah, you look at it and go, hang on.
I'm in love with this hot mermaid. Like, sort of not really that kid-friendly.
The weird is real.
Yeah, yes. And all of like John Hughes movies, you know, Bill Murray movies were huge. So it's really kind of, I mean, I feel like there wasn't much that I missed from that era.
That's an okay thing to feel.
Yeah, and it's great.
What do you like to watch now?
I guess I'm certainly, I mean, Fargo is sort of perfect for me tonally because that's very much in my wheelhouse as just a fan is like Coen Brothers or just movies that are simultaneously somewhat dark and funny and kind of human and sad all at once. And so those are the kind of my favorite movies to watch and also to be in, you know. But yeah, Coen Brothers, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson. But I kind of like a bit of everything. I'm definitely not... I'm not a snob. I like to watch everything. You know? I think there's something for every kind of genre.
Do you harbor thoughts about producing or directing as well?
I do. Yeah. I've dabbled a little bit in producing, and I would like to do that some more. And I think every day I get a little bit more interested in directing. I hope to find some material and also somebody who would let me do it at some point. I don't really think I'm much of a writer. I feel like I don't have the discipline necessary to get through that whole process. But I think I know what I like, and I think I like what I like, and I think I think maybe that I could direct. So I'd like to give that a try at some point.
Do you feel, I know that television has opened a whole new, what's the word? It's a new era of television we're living in.
Yeah.
People are calling it the new golden age.
The golden age, right.
Yeah.
And who could argue? I mean, there's just so much, frankly, there's too much.
I know. Yeah. It's overload a little bit. Yeah.
That's a first world problem, though. Because there's just so much to watch.
And so much of it's so good.
Yes, yeah. And a lot of it is really, really superior stuff, like Fargo.
Yeah.
And or like Mercy Street, which unfortunately, you know, came to an end after two seasons. But, you know, good work was done, and it's there to be seen. And so thank goodness for that. But at one time, people were very snobbish about doing television, you know, movie people.
Yeah,
yeah.
On both sides of the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Writers, directors, and actors. Mm-hmm.
And we talk to a lot of people. I think it's coming up more and more in any conversation we have, in any interview you do, of this stigma is kind of gone.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And it's amazing just because it means that you now have access to these incredible people. And Fargo is a perfect example of that because it's a different cast each season. I keep seeing interviews with those folks, and they're saying, I can commit to this.
Yes. Yeah.
I can commit to X amount of episodes for X amount of time, and then, you know, be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that in and of itself is so cool.
So cool.
Now, did you talk to Noah Hawley before you read the script? How did they approach you? Did you get to know the material first? How did all that come about?
Well, I had first met Noah because we had met about the first season, and he was interested in me for that. And it didn't come to fruition. I ended up doing something else, but we always kind of stayed in touch, and we ran into each other around the time he was doing the second season, and he was like, "I want to find a cameo for you or something," and we were talking about that. And then again, I was doing something else that didn't come to fruition, and then the third season came around, and he just called and said, "Are you available?" And I was like, "Yes, I am. I am. Yes, I'm not doing anything else. I will drop everything and do this show." And he didn't tell me anything about what the role was at that point. I just said, "Yes, no questions asked. I'm in." And then we had a FaceTime or Skype session at some point where he kind of just told me a little bit about the story and about the character. But not in too much detail, and I didn't ask that many questions because I just was so on board. I really didn't need to. And then I got the first script, and I was totally floored by the character. I didn't expect that at all because, like I said, I've never really played anybody like this before, and so I thought, he wants me to play this girl? Okay, all right, I'll try to wrap my brain around that. And then when I had a lunch with him after it was, you know, contracts had been signed, it was official, and asked him a few questions. And then I was able to start realizing, I think, what about me would fit this role and what I could bring to her and how I could kind of make her my own.
So did he – I don't know much about him. My wife has read one of his novels and liked it a lot.
It's brilliant.
And he's obviously not only very, very bright but prolific, to say –
extremely.
To say the least.
Yeah.
I don't think he sleeps. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that he does.
Yes, I know. I mean, just turning it out and turning out high quality, you know, things, whether it be on the printed page. You remember the printed page.
Never.
Right.
or doing this kind of stuff. Did he describe it first or did you read it first?
The script?
The character and the arc of the character.
He described it for me, but he can be somewhat cryptic, I think. You know, he's sort of, you know, he's... I think he'd rather you read it than just, mm-hmm. you know, sort of go on and on about it. So he mm-hmm. described it to me, but he sort of described it more in story points, you know, mm-hmm. so I still wasn't really prepared for kind of the personality that I was mm-hmm. going to be inhabiting, you mm-hmm. know. I didn't really, because it's hard to describe that until you really see it on the page and, yeah. and see it kind of come to life.
Now, people don't think a lot about directors on television because it's a producer or writer-driven medium, and everyone sort of yeah. knows that. But when you're turning out, you know, week after week after week, and you were up there in Calgary for a long time mm-hmm. on that shoot, you have a lot of people coming and going.
Yes.
And how does that work? Do you have to be sort of a self-starter? Do you have to sort of judge or criticize yourself as you're going along?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's kind of the TV sort of, I guess, somewhat dilemma, or not even a dilemma, but just the way it works. You know, mm-hmm. it's an interesting process kind of to get used to coming from film when you always have one yeah. person to go to about everything. And yeah. TV, it's you've got your showrunner who is kind of that one person, but oftentimes mm-hmm. they're not there. So mm-hmm. usually it would be, you know, if I had any big questions, I would email Noah. Ultimately, he's kind of the person that mm-hmm. is going to, that you go to. But he had such great directors that he chose to bring onto the show who all seemed to really get it and mm-hmm. to understand him and what he wants, but also, you know, put their own stamp on it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of an ephemeral thing, like how it works.
Yeah. I know people who do this. In fact, my old friend who we had on the show, Alan Arkus, directed you in Brain Dead.
Yes, Alan.
And Alan is so cool. And
so cool.
It's just, we're overusing that word today, but he is.
No, it's true.
He is. And he's right up there with Quentin in terms
he is.
Of, you know, being a movie buff,
cinephile,
and a movie lover and all
yeah.
of that. But I asked him once about, you know, being sort of the for-hire director yeah. and coming in. And I said, I think we may have even talked about it
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah.
And he said he feels like kind of a studio musician
mm-hmm.
who's been called in for a session. Someone else wrote the music.
Right.
Someone else is conducting the music. But
you have to bring it to life.
Got to bring it to life and try to just put a little bit of his own spin
yeah.
in some way.
That's
just
a great
by
way.
Being
That's
there
a great
and
way to
trying to communicate,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. in his own way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is sort of, and it's very collaborative because we're all mm-hmm. in that same mm-hmm. boat. You know, we're all, like, as an actor, I'm trying to kind of take what everybody else is doing and mm-hmm. and do what I know serves the material and serves the director and serves the showrunner, but also serves myself and,
yeah.
and what
yeah.
I like. So I guess everybody's kind of finding their yeah. own way. And
right. Do you watch yourself? Do you watch your own stuff?
I usually do once. If occasionally, I mean, I've had maybe one or two experiences where I don't want to watch it, or I just don't really feel like I have mm-hmm. any desire to. But mm-hmm. usually I want to see it at least once because, I mean, typically I'm just really excited about
yeah.
about the project as mm-hmm. a whole, you
yeah.
know, and
mm-hmm.
I really want to kind of cheer everybody on and mm-hmm. and see how it all turned out. And I'm typically okay watching myself. I don't like love it necessarily, but I'm also not too bothered by it. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at I guess detaching myself from the character.
And that's a skill.
Yeah.
It is a skill to be able to watch yourself.
I've been doing it so long, I guess it's just something I'm used to doing.
Yeah.
And also I'm pretty good, I guess, at letting things go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really, I sort of...
That's good. That's healthy.
Yeah, I guess. I'm happy that I am that way. I don't really ask for extra takes. I don't really... Mm. I just think if that's what other people think works, then I trust that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't
mm-hmm.
really... Because I can't see myself from outside myself and
yeah.
know mm-hmm. if it's,
yeah.
if it's
yeah.
right
well,
or not.
I'm always amazed at people who direct themselves.
Yeah, I know.
I get it, but I don't get it. It's one of those things
yeah.
where I know that you have somebody there that you trust completely
yes.
and that makes it work, but I've always thought I don't quite know how
yeah.
you slip between the two.
It would be hard.
Mm-hmm. I always wish that my dad had a better answer. Whenever I've asked him, I was like, what was it like the first time you saw yourself on TV?
Mm.
He always kind of goes,
No, I
want it to be like, was it weird? Was
right.
it creepy?
It was all of those things, and I am critical.
Mm.
I am very self-critical, and I keep, why did I do that? Why didn't I... Why am I hollering? Or why wasn't
right.
I more emphatic? Or
right.
Why, you know,
yeah.
It's always something.
Yeah.
I've gotten more accustomed to seeing
yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
bug me. But I remember early on, there was so much of a gap between taping for Entertainment Tonight in the early
yeah.
days and seeing it sometimes I'd say, oh, why did I do that? You know what? I got to remember next time. Because there was nobody directing me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But nobody.
Yeah.
And
he had what I would call the voice of God, which is somebody from the editing,
right.
You know, coming over
from the
speaker.
Booth, from the control booth. Yeah.
Going, you know. Leonard, if you could do that one more time, that would be great. Oh, thanks.
Oh, all alone.
Because of YouTube, there's all of these reviews he did for E.T. that are on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, thanks, YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So I've had a blast watching.
Pardon me. Forever.
It's true.
Forever.
And I love it. And we watched his Back to the Future review, and he was like, oh my God, I was yelling, and my voice is so high. And I was like, no, it's a long time ago. It's 30-something years ago. You're just a baby.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I look stupid.
I feel the same. It's harder for me to watch old, you know, all my early work and stuff. I'm like, oh God, why did anyone tell me I was good at this? Like, what were they thinking?
Well, it's not unlike looking at snapshots that were taken 10 years ago or 15 years. Was I really wearing my hair that way?
Exactly. You know, who told me that was a good idea?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Front pleated pants. So I'm going to say for you, Daddy, front pleated pants. Man, I look back.
Oh, give me a break.
I dress him.
Give me a break.
I buy all of his clothes and I dress him. And I worked in wardrobe and I love it. But some days I'll see something of his and I'm just like, oh, I wasn't doing it yet. Oh, it's bad. It's real bad.
You saved him.
It's real bad. Yeah.
Now, I have to confess, full disclosure, I never got to see Brain Dead.
Oh, yeah,
it sort of came and went, but I heard good things about it.
It was great. It was so much fun. It really was just
this was a
blast.
Show that was on CBS and was created by the Kings, the creators of The Good Wife.
Yeah.
So it came with a lot of expectations.
It did, yeah.
And I guess you shared those expectations.
I did. But, you know, it was one of those kind of – because it was such a – if it had gone on, it was going to be totally different, you know, from season to season in terms of the story. And so it was kind of okay that it was one season. It was a full arc, you know. So it was sad that it didn't continue because we had such a good time. But it also kind of made sense, you know. It was a standalone
thing. You didn't feel
thing.
Like the – to pull the rug out prematurely.
No, no. And I think we all kind of knew, too. It was another thing that I did out of loving how weird it was.
Yeah.
Also how weird it was to be on CBS. I just read it, and I was like, CBS is going to do this show?
Funny.
Like, I just have to see what that's going to be like. And the Kings, too, to go from The Good Wife to this, like, invasion of the body snatchers meets, Veep. You know, it just was such a strange but funny and weird, and it was just a really fun role as well. Mm-hmm. And again, that's another TV experience that I loved that we never sat down. You know, it was just so fast paced and exciting. And so I think that's something I've found is I love being kind of in the center of that kind of energy.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a positive energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Some people, I mean, because people who've gone back and forth, you know, get culture, not culture shock, but work shock.
Right.
You know, a procedural shock.
Yes. Yeah.
From either one or the other.
Right.
Some people find movie making so slow.
Slow.
Especially on a big film.
Yeah. I've always had a little trouble with that. Yeah. All the waiting around.
And then people who are used to working in big movies who suddenly find themselves at a TV pace or doing an indie movie, it's the opposite.
Yes. You have 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're doing your own hair and makeup.
Yeah. And do it.
I'm going to need you to bring your clothes.
Yeah. No, but I love, and that's what I found because before I started doing TV, I started doing indie movies. And so I did have that kind of epiphany that was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to sit and wait for 4 hours while you try and not fall asleep before your big scene, you know?
The only thing I ever hear actors enjoy about bigger budget is crafty.
Crafty is great.
Crafty improves.
Better crafty.
Explain your jargon.
Oh, sorry. Craft services.
Yes.
If we're going to go, if my dad's going to be on KTLA or something like that, I go, oh, they always have really good bagels.
Mm-hmm.
They always have really good bagels there. Yeah. We like going because they have good bagels in the morning. Crafty is where all of your food is, your snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger the production, the more stuff you have.
Typically. But you never know.
Because
depends on what they want to put their money into. I've been on some big budget movies where it's worse than the tiny, tiny indie movies. And sometimes the indie movies are great because they really want to feed people to keep them happy for all the hard work they're doing.
Yes,
so sometimes,
which is a good strategy.
Yeah, no, it is. It's
good
a smart way to go.
Lots of pasta.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots and lots of pasta. It goes a long way.
Now, you're in a film. One of the things we always ask our guests, and I don't know if we asked you this ahead of time, so I'm sorry if I'm throwing you a curve, is if there are films that of recent years
mm-hmm.
that just as a moviegoer
yeah.
you like that you think didn't get the audience they deserved?
Oh, that is a good
question. And I'll trade you one, okay?
Okay.
Because you're in one.
Mm.
And I seem to be in the minority view on this movie. It's The Hollers.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a really sweet.
John Krasinski directed it, and James Strauss wrote it, and I like their work a lot. Mm. And you're in an incredible ensemble of people.
Margot Martindale.
Oh, my God.
Kill me now. Margot Martindale.
I know. There's nobody better. She's so good.
She's amazing.
And Krasinski's also the star.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a starring type of film. It really is an ensemble.
Yeah. Did he write it and direct it?
No, he directed it.
He directed it.
But James Strauss wrote it. But, you know, you're with all these other good, good actors. And do you like that movie?
I do. I mean, that's one, you know, I sort of hopped in on for a couple days. You know, I was shooting something else and hopped over to that set just to be in a couple scenes. But it was so lovely. I mean, John Krasinski's great. Charlie Day, who I've been a fan of forever. Mm-hmm. I was like a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia since it started, which was like 10 years ago now
something. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I was really excited to work with him. And it's funny, Margot Martindale actually did a guest star on Brain Dead as well, so to kind of have these little connections with her. I love, you know, just getting to be part of those big ensembles with so many great people and just getting to like, you know, oh, and Richard Jenkins. Oh, my God.
He's so good.
He's amazing.
It's the whole cast, though, truly, with this film and a lot of the films you've worked on, just really great cast, ensemble casts.
Yeah, really lucky.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a tough question. I'm going to be racking my brain. The thing that come, and I don't know, I don't really know if it was underseen, but I feel like it is because I went as her for Halloween and nobody knew who I was, Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson's
film.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was so haunting and strange and beautiful. Yeah. And I got the soundtrack on vinyl and I play it at night sometimes and it's like super creepy and gorgeous. And I dressed up as her in that movie for Halloween and I had to explain myself to everyone. And no, even once I explained it, because I figured people probably maybe wouldn't know, but then once I said the movie, that maybe there'd be some recognition.
Oh, okay.
That was kind of a cult
film. No recognition whatsoever. Yes. And then I would have to explain, well, she's an alien and she's like picking up these guys and they're like in the rural towns. And and people were just like, what?
You see what happened was.
No one understood. But I love that. I love, and that's sort of, I guess, why I always end up kind of coming back to horror movies and things, is I do have an affinity for the kind of darkly beautiful.
Well, it says a lot that was your choice for Halloween.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever gone as Ramona Flowers?
I should.
You really should.
I really should.
You should just to throw people off. You should do it just so someone goes, oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, oh my God, you're just like her.
All those stories of when Cher bumps into a Cher impersonator.
Yes.
And they think that she's also a Cher impersonator. And, you know, they go, wow, you're really good.
Yeah.
You're really good. Think about that. You could
really
be
dead on.
The Ramona Flowers version of Cher.
Totally.
And people would go, wow, that is perfect.
Or I could go to Comic-Con dressed as
Ramona. God.
Oh, man.
That would be the end.
Yeah.
That would be the end.
That would be something.
You might be trampled.
I know.
There is a certain risk involved.
That's okay.
Certain inherent risk there. But you decide.
Right.
We're not going to try to tell you what to do.
We'll get you like a Pope-mobile thing.
Yeah, exactly.
To protect you. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's Ramona Flowers. Yes. What's the Manic Pixie Dream Girl? It's that...
Mm. Yeah,
like
I know.
Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You know what I loved this year too? This just popped into my head that
you're allowed
was 20th Century Women, which totally on the other end of the spectrum, not dark and weird and strange, but just beautiful and lovely and real. And I love Mike Mills movies.
Yes.
And I absolutely thought that was
a big thumbsucker fan.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's wacky.
Another kind of underrated, underseen weird little movie.
Yeah. And you know, Thumbsucker came out the same time as Chum Scrubber.
Yes, I remember
that.
Which
is that. One
it
of those
so
weird,
confusing.
Like,
it's like which one?
We were at Sundance.
They're both weird.
We were at Sundance and reading things going, Thumbsucker, Chum Scrubber. What is going on? What is, I don't understand.
Something in the ozone that year.
Didn't they even share a couple actors or something? I felt
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, there's a few back and forth.
It's so funny.
It's, I don't know.
Well, there you have it.
Oh, there you have it.
There you have it.
So what's next for you?
I'm kind of right now. I've got an indie movie that I'm supposed to be doing this summer that I really love, where I'm supposed to play a stand-up comedian, which is really, really daunting.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm a bit terrified of it, but also really excited. And then also just reading other things and sort of in talks on a few things, but you know,
well,
seeing what comes.
If you're going to do that, if you wind up doing that, I will give you one recommendation, but for a specific reason.
Mm.
A film came out early this year called The Comedian with Robert De Niro.
Right. I heard about this.
It's not a very good film.
I was gonna say.
But watch him.
Uh-huh.
Because he gets it.
Right.
No shock. But, he, you know, he couldn't be more unlike this character that he's playing in the movie, who is a loudmouth, brash, you know, a guy who talk about politically incorrect.
Right. I mean,
he's just, you know, he's always pushing the envelope in the wrong way.
Mm.
And he's a real stand-up in it. I mean, you just buy him. You believe it. And because he's an extraordinary actor. So to see him transform himself that way, even though the film doesn't quite work, is worth
it. No, that's great.
Well,
yeah.
You know this. Sometimes it's worth seeing a movie for a performance.
Absolutely. I hope so. As an actor, sometimes it's worthy enough.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I certainly am drawn to that. So I want to check that out for sure.
You and Ambrosia would appreciate that.
Right.
Ambrosia's not a salad.
No.
Although I do really like
Ambrosia
salad.
Ambrosius.
It's a weird
name. As opposed to the nectar of the gods.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Oh.
Thank you so much for coming
Thank
by
you for
today.
Having me.
Thank you for bringing your dog.
Oh, thank you for having her.
My dog
She's so happy to be here.
And you know, we always post a picture online.
Yes.
For each episode, we'll make sure the dog is in the photo.
Oh, good.
Yes.
She always gets in anytime she's with me. She gets in a photo.
Well, I mean,
and this will not be an exception.
This
will be consistent with that trend.
I love it.
You're meant to be famous, aren't you?
She is.
Now, are you a social media person?
I am on social media, yes. Okay. I've got Instagram and Twitter and all those things.
The tweets and the Instagrams.
Yes.
Okay. And you, Jesse?
I am at Jesse Malton. You are at Leonard Malton on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to leonardmalton.com, subscribe, and you can get
for
all
free.
Of his
Absolutely
reviews.
Free. No charge at all.
All kinds of articles. You name it.
You name it.
Have a little more Malton in your life.
That's it. We'll say goodbye for now and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.